hear the voice of one crying. I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare ye. His path straight, make straight his paths in the wilderness. Let his light shine, let his light shine in the darkness. Let your rain. Let your rain fall in the desert. I hear the voice of one crying. I hear the voice of one crying. Prepare the way of the Lord. The surest gold is precious and the honey sweet. So you love this city and you love these streets. Every child out playing on their own front door. Every baby playing on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer dreaming in their dead-end job. Every driver driving through the rush hour mall. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bones. You're gonna send revival, bring them all back home. I can hear the thunder in the distance, like a train on the edge of the town. I can feel the brooding of your spirit. Lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down. From the preacher preaching when the well is dry, to the lost soul reaching for a higher high. From the young man working through his hopes and fears, to the widow walking through the veil. Every man and woman, every old and young, every father's daughter, every mother's son. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bones. You're gonna send revival, bring them all back home. I can hear the thunder in the distance, like a train on of the town. I can feel the brooding of your spirit. Lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down. Revive us.
The light and peace of Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We say together,
we have come together
in the name of Christ
to offer our praise and thanksgiving,
to hear and receive God's holy word,
to pray for the needs of the world,
and to seek his forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. We welcome you all to the service today, a service of farewell for Tim and Anita, Lydia and Evie as they move on to a new ministry in the Lord's kingdom. We welcome their friends who've come here to celebrate these last 12 years which they have been with us here at Holy Trinity, and praying for them in their new ministry in Ambleside. I want to give a special welcome to visitors here, family, friends of Tim and Anita, representatives from the deanery and the diocese, and former leaders of the PCC and Planet Life, and members of Holy Trinity who have come back especially today for this service. A verse of scripture from Paul's a farewell to the Ephesian elders. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God has called us to follow Christ and has formed us into a royal priesthood and a holy nation to declare the wonderful deeds of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So please sit or kneel. As we come to confess the times when we have failed to heed God's call to us, we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with a whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who in Christ Jesus has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, assure us of your forgiveness, open our eyes to your truth, strengthen us to do your will, and give us the joy of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect of today for those called to Christian ministry. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. Let us praise God for his mercy.
And give thanks to him for his goodness.
Open our lips, O Lord.
And our mouth shall declare your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
As John has asked you to stand up, I'm going to ask you to please sit down. Don't worry, there won't be too much of that in our service. Normally at this point there are notices, and Tim loves notices. So we couldn't actually let it go without having at least a couple. At the high point of the service, what God's church is doing in this place. I have two notices, I will keep them brief. Just to let you know that Tim chose all the hymns and all the songs, and indeed chose the reader.
Not the Long Black Train. I didn't choose that.
Who chose that?
Anita.
Anita's? A song that you will hear later, the Long Black Train. Is that? Then it's all you, is it?
No, I had a go.
Yeah. Yes, you had a go. Fantastic. So for this farewell service, Tim and Anita have chosen hymns and songs that are special to them. And just in case you didn't know, there is a small tea after this service. Lots of cake, tea and coffee, and maybe a few presentations. But do please come over to share a meal with Tim and Anita and the girls as they have their final meal with us. I'm not sure there are strawberries, but there may be, but there you go. This church is very full at the moment, but there are people absent. There are people who couldn't be here because Tim and Anita are leaving during the summer holidays. And they wanted to say something in their absence. And Paul, of course, when he was away and far away from the churches he visited, he sent letters. and letters that he wrote. Now, this is the 21st century, so I don't think letters would do. But a reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 goes this. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So for those people who couldn't make it today, a few messages. Maddie Vale, Pam's daughter. Cut short. Just a few messages then from those who couldn't be here, but very thankful for those who are here. to share with us Tim and Anita's and the girls' final service. It is that time to sing again, so I will ask you to stand as we sing Praise Him, You Heavens.
Praise Him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise Him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise Him. Praise Him, the sun, moon, and bright shining star. Praise Him, you heavens and water and the sky. Let the whole earth praise Him.
Tim and Anita chose the songs, hymns and music throughout the whole of today. Alan always says to me, introduce this song. I know what it's trying to say, but I never quite know what to say about it. It's the song's A Long Black Train. I think Anita introduces to us. Were you line dancing at the time, at the front here? I think you were doing a line dance, I think, at the front here or something. But seriously, it's got a very serious message. And it's one that Tim and Anita have indeed shared with us and brought people into the kingdom of God. There isn't much time. And if you hear the word of the Lord, if you hear the Lord speaking to you, it's time to get on board. It's time to climb on board, get on the train, because it won't be around forever. Not the black one, anyway.
There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and blind. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. You can look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there speaks the same. Burning your ticket for that long black train. For there's victory in the Lord, I say. making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. I know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Well, I can hear the whistle. Sounds so good that I must stay away. That train of beauty making everybody stare. Its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Driving on that long black train.
Well, at the end of that, we should say yee-haw, but I'll just settle with please be seated for our readings. And then Tim is going to come and preach his last sermon for now, because I'm sure he will guest at some point at Holy Trinity.
The first reading can be found on page 1187. The first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading could be found on page 1051. It's Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.' This is the word of the Lord."
So, Father, may your word come to us afresh, and in my words, may we be encouraged because you speak to us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it is lovely to see so many of you here and so many guests from other places and so many clergy. I've never spoken to so many clergy all at one time before. And it is really lovely to see you. And if you are a guest here for the occasion, that's great. I have to say that most of my address is for the church and to the church that I have done my duty in and preached to over these years. And my last three sermons, the two that have gone before this and this final one, I've been reflecting on the three times that Paul, in his writings, uses the Greek word philotimiomai. That was very good, wasn't it? Philotimiomai. And it means to strive for or to make it an ambition. The first one comes in Romans chapter 15, where Paul says, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known." Then last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we looked where he said, "We make it our ambition to please Christ." And now in this last sermon, I'm taking this verse from Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, where he says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life." It's there on page 1188. So if you want the long goodbye, go to the website and you can hear my last two and this sermon again when it gets put up there. But if you just want the short one, well, hang on, I won't be too long. This us and you little sequence is pretty good at summing up a pastor's ministry. First of all, there's I, the sort of the me bit, the focus on what the agenda, the gifts and the character that a pastor brings to the church. And then we all settle down together and it's we, us together, what's our agenda, what are the things we want to do in ministry and in the church here. We've come a long way in that, quite a long way together. And now it's the time of parting and it's you. The focus is on you and your agenda and what do you want to achieve
for the future after we've gone. But what should a pastor say to the church that he's leaving? What words can be said to encourage and to build up? Well, St. Paul, he'd been in Thessalonica for just 3 weeks, establishing a church there. And then, because of the gospel that he preached, and there were some ruckus Jews and so on, they drove him out of the city. So he went next door, really, to the city closest by, to Berea. And they pursued him down the road to Berea and gave him a hard time there. So he had to go quite a long way south, down to Corinth. And all the while, having been driven out of the city of Thessalonica after only 3 weeks, he was worrying about the church that he'd left behind. Were they all right? Were they going on with the Lord? Had they kept the faith? And it got to a point where he could stand it no longer, so he sent Timothy back to them from Corinth to Thessalonica to find out what it was like. And Timothy returns in chapter 3, verse 6 there, and you can see, with a good report about their faith and their love. And Paul is delighted to hear this report come back from Thessalonica. And so he immediately sits down and he writes to the church. And he gives them in these verses what might have been his final words to them as a pastor leaving, if he had been there. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, they're such good words for a parting pastor. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. That's rather a strange way of putting it. The words really mean, make it your ambition to have no ambition. Or another way of putting it is, to strive restlessly to be at rest. Very strange kind of language. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. To mind your own business and to work with your hands just as we told you. And that's the thing. Just as we told you. Go on doing the things that we've been telling you about. Keep on according to the instruction that you have received from us. Strive for it. Make it your ambition, philotimeomai, to press on with the work that you have been doing. And in fact, that's how Paul does begin in verse 1 of chapter 4. Speaking to them on this matter, appealing to his previous instructions in the Lord. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And I suppose if you do believe that your pastor is speaking with the authority of the Lord Jesus, you probably ought to listen to what he has to say. Well, Paul is sure that he had the authority of the Lord Jesus, and what he's told them to do in making it their ambition to live a quiet life is to do it in 3 ways. And firstly, he wants them to live a quiet life with the Lord, to live peaceably with God. Verses 3-8 state that we should be a holy kind of people. Verse 3 says that it's God's will that we should be sanctified. That's holy. Verse 4 again speaks of living in a way that is holy. Verse 7, that God didn't call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And then in verse 8, God has given us his Holy Spirit. Being holy, it means being separate, set apart, distinctive in life from the world around us, rejecting the impurity of the world and seeking the purity and the holiness of God. Because you see, the church is to be the holy people of God, revealing his holiness in the world. We're meant to bear that mark of holiness and the set apartness in him. And the issues of the day that Paul picks up in Thessalonica is to show that holiness in the issue of sexual holiness, sexual behaviour. Thessalonica was a town characterised by the worship of Greek fertility gods called the Calibri. And also, like other towns around there, it was widely accepted that a man would not or could not limit himself to just one sexual partner. He might have a mistress. Slavery provided an easy opportunity for a concubine. A casual gratification could come through a harlot. And the function of a wife was to run his house and to be the mother of his legitimate children. That was the culture of Thessalonica. So Paul preached the whole gospel to them. The things that were difficult about God, as well as the things that were easy. And that's why in verse 6 of chapter 4 there, he talks about warning them about the punishment for such sins. Don't be fighting with God. Don't be arguing with him. See, Paul is talking to the church. He's not worried about the heathen who doesn't know God. He's worried about the church, that they should live according to their knowledge of God, that they should live a quiet life with God. See, the heathen doesn't know God. They can't be expected to live a holy life. They've no resources to live a holy life. But the church, says Paul, verse 8, has been given the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on, therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. It's us. We know God. We have the Holy Spirit to enable us to live the holy lives that no one else can. And so holy living is to be a characteristic of our life, making it our ambition to live a quiet life with God. Now, if sexual holiness was the issue of the day in Thessalonica, and we might want to say that it is still in ours, what other things might a pastor want to speak of in terms of the whole gospel, so that the church can be seen separate and holy and living quietly with God? Well, if it were me, because it is, let me urge you first to continue to be a people of giving and not getting. Counter the consumerist culture of our day by giving in commitment to financial interdependence in the church. We give here to world mission, significant sums. We give to our school, which blew their minds. We give to our building project. We stand separate from the consumerist culture, the getting culture of our day. Second, I urge you to be accountable to one another. In the newspapers, in the politics, in the police, in the banks and finance and business. These are just stories that we've had in our news recently. Everybody's covering up. Covering up, not being accountable. And then we find there's a cover-up of the cover-up. But in the church, we are accountable to one another and to God, to live in openness and honesty and humility. Paul says there, let not no one wrong his brother or take advantage of him in verse 6. Don't let the acceptance of the church be a cover for unholiness. Don't take advantage of the welcome to continue in sin. And thirdly, be a church who uphold family. Work to build family relationships. Invest in supporting people who are committed, long-term, nurturing families that make for stable communities and happy couples and healthy children. You know, these are the things that I have taught. A whole gospel about sex, about money, about possessions, about work, about family, about the church people with the ambition to live a quiet life with God, empowered by His Holy Spirit to live a life of holiness. And I urge you to continue to do so. Secondly, he wants them to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life with each other. Paul goes on in verse 9. About brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. We're a different kind of human being. A human being in whom God lives by His Spirit. And the ambition to live quietly with each other is a difficult thing. But it's to be characterized by the love of God lived out amongst us. And being church, you see, is far more than just what happens on the Sunday. It's where we belong before anything else. And Paul was worried that that truth hadn't got into the hearts of the church in Thessalonica. But he needn't have worried, because the report Timothy brought there in verse 6 of chapter 3 not only was a good report about their faith, it was a good report about their love. Paul had been around long enough to teach them the things properly, but the Spirit of God, he hadn't been around long enough, but the Spirit of God in them had taught it to them. And Paul says, you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And do you know the way that we're taught by God? The way that the Spirit of God teaches us is when we do what He says. To put the theory into practice. The way you're taught that Jesus will always be with you wherever you go is to go and work with the homeless people. Or to share your faith with your neighbour, or invite them to back to church Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet at the back for the bouncy castle and barbecue. Or the way you learn and are taught by God that God loves a cheerful giver is, guess what? Be a cheerful giver. And the way you're taught by God to love each other is to love each other in His name. And God has taught us here about loving each other. The way we welcome people, how we help them find their place in this church is known and it's noted. We don't have a prayer ministry team here, but at the end of the services you'll find people in the chairs praying for each other, weeping together, rejoicing together. There's no end of the good things people have done in friendship and love among the people of this church, amongst you. Things that I don't know about, but I know go on. People have helped each other move house. They've bought and paid for essential items for others. They've spent time listening, visiting, caring. They've opened their homes for days out by the river for friendship. And these are the things that people value here. And I've got two special prayers for particular people here. There's prayers that I say for you who are new in faith in our church. to those of you who are going to be confirmed here next month. Keep on. Take your place here. Don't let the fact that the vicar's leaving let the fire for Jesus go out in your heart. And then there's a word to others, a prayer for others who are on the drift. People who are not as committed to this place here as they were. Perhaps distracted. My special prayer to you and for you is that our leaving might cause you to reconnect. To remind yourself of how important life with God's people is. Make it your philotimeomai, your ambition to love each other, to live a quiet life with each other. Because that's what you have been doing. And it's not just in the church here, but also we've taken our place in the deanery and diocese and consider it a privilege to give of our purse, to take our place, to host the events when we've been asked. We are known as a church of love by them. Verse 10 says, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. And I urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. And one reason I urge you to do it more and more, along with Paul, is because there'll be a new person from Macedonia coming. A new vicar of this place. And you're to love them. Bless them. Tell them what they're good at and not what I was good at. Tell them that God has appointed them to be the leader of this church. And that the old leader is gone somewhere else. Bless them in their ministry in the Lord. Love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. And I urge you to do it more and more. And the third thing follows on quite naturally from that. To make it your ambition to live a life, a quiet life with outsiders. And that's in verse 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead the quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you'll not be dependent on anybody. We see there was a temptation in the churches at the time for the believers to give up working because they believed that the return of Jesus was tomorrow or the day after. And they were giving up work. And then they were becoming dependent on others for their need. And that was something disreputable. So Paul tells them to work with their hands, to earn a living, and to contribute to the community life of the church, not to make demands on outsiders for support or welfare. Because the point of the church is to show that life with Jesus is better. Life with Jesus is more attractive. It's more blessed than life without him. And it's to win the respect of the outsiders. Last week in the evening service, we baptized Elaine and Stephen at this place. And they both spoke in their testimony of how the church had welcomed them, helped them, made them feel better. That life was better because they belonged here. They were outsiders, but now they're insiders. Because what they saw here was attractive. We won their respect to the point that they wanted to know what we believed. In the prayer book, there's a prayer book in the porch of our church for people passing by to come and leave requests for prayer or to write a prayer themselves. And you'll know, some of you, that a few weeks ago when our departure was announced, that someone has written in it, "Good riddance to Tim Ball." And some of you have been very kind and said, well, you wouldn't be doing your job right if you hadn't upset someone. But I think it's not been written because I've done my job right and upset them because of the gospel. I suspect it's there because I've done my job wrong, that I spoke to them harshly or angrily or pressed the point about parking illegally a little bit too much. And they've not just made a judgment about me. In that moment, they've made a judgment about the church and, I suspect, about Jesus as well. And so we're to make it our ambition to live a quiet life and win the respect of outsiders. Not to upset them, but to win them over to being insiders. Let's not forget that that's our purpose. Well, these are the things that I've taught. These are the things I've spoken of many times. These are the things that you might have expected me and had a right to expect me to preach in my leadership of the church. Jesus says, when you've done all that you've been told to do, you'll only say, I've done my duty. And that's what I've tried to do in the preaching of these things as I understand them. Holiness, love amongst the brothers and sisters, winning the respect of outsiders. And so the final words are that you are to press on. Make it your ambition to press on with the work that you have been doing so well, to live quietly with God as a holy people, not fearing his punishment, delighting though in the joy of living to please him. To live quietly with each other, loving one another in the way that God has taught you, winning their respect of outsiders and drawing them in. That's the work you've been doing. And brothers and sisters, I urge you to do so more and more, making these things, philotimio may I, your ambition in Christ Jesus. God bless you. And thank you for the journey. Amen.
Tim has said, to walk his way, and we can only do that when we know.
Holy hand.
your love a grave? Wide is your love and grace. You never change, you never fail, oh God. So we raise our holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is and is to come. So we raise our holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is and is to come. You will always be.
Mentioned before, Tim and Anita have shared in their choices of hymns and songs, and there has been a special request for this next song to be sung solo. Now, it's nothing to say about the greatness of your voices, I'm sure it wasn't about that, but I think it's something where we can sit down, we can listen and reflect.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God who spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak. And the same gentle hands that held me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. Christ. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame. He lives forever, I'll proclaim that the payment for my sins was the precious life he gave. But now he's alive and there's an empty grave. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. For I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me
do remain seated, or if you are able to kneel as Martin leads us in our intercessions.
Let's just spend a few moments in quiet as we think about the words that we've just been listening to. Through Elaine's song and also through the preaching of God's word through Tim, and how that has impacted upon our lives here as a church. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, always keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray that we may view our lives here on earth as a pilgrim's path to heaven. Give us grace, we pray, to tread it courageously in the company of your faithful people. Help us to set our minds on the things above, and not on the passing vanities of this world. and grant that as we journey on in the way of holiness, we may bear a good witness to our Lord and serve all who need our help along the way. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. In this church, we pray regularly for our mission partners. And on the screen, if you want to look, there is a picture of our Crosslinks prayer partners, Andy and Susie Harker, Bethan, Jacob and Hannah, who are serving God in Kenya. And we pray for them now. Father, we thank you that you and marvel that you continue to call men and women to serve you, to leave home and country, and to travel to faraway places with the good news of the Lord Jesus. We pray for Andy and Susie, for Bethan, Jacob and Hannah, praying particularly as they settle into their new surroundings. We pray for the children in particular, as they adjust to all the new changes in their lives. And we pray, Lord, particularly for Andy and Susie today, that you will help them as they begin the process of learning Swahili. And we pray for Josephine, who is helping them to learn the language. Father God, may this little family be good news to the community in which you have sent them. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a broken world, in a broken society, where things have gone badly wrong. And as Christians, we believe that is because men and women have turned their backs on God and His Word and have followed their own desires. Oh God, our Father, we bring before you today the deep divisions of our world, set in men's hearts a spirit of penitence and forgiveness and reconciliation, that they may no longer distrust or fear one another, but be drawn together in understanding, so that in the unity of purpose they may seek the way of peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray for this church here and for the parish of Springfield Park, for all that we seek to do to be a beacon of hope in this community. Almighty God, our Father, we pray for your blessing on all who share in the life, the work, and the witness of this church, in the ministry of word and sacrament, in teaching and pastoral care, in service to the diocese, the community, and those in need. We pray, Father, for all the members of this family, that in their varied callings they may advance your kingdom and bear witness to your love shown in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Tim and Anita's ministry among us has been marked by the fact that they have got us to look beyond the four walls of this church building to be salt and light out there on the streets and in the community. And indeed, many people are sitting in this building today because we have lifted our eyes and we have followed the calling to leave the church and to go out there to preach the good news. And there are many, many people who have been helped and blessed on the way. Let's just spend a few moments in quiet as we think about those who are in any kind of need. And we bring them to mind now. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to serve this community. Thank you that you've taken us into the schools, into the old people's homes, into the pubs, into the restaurants. And we will continue to do that. But Lord, we do pray for those who are still, whose hearts are hardened to the things of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you will use us to bring healing and wholeness to their lives. And as we bear up before you, Lord, those who are upon our hearts and minds, we ask, Father, that you will be their peace, their comfort, and their joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we say the Lord's Prayer together, as on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours,